the Senate Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness to come to order. Madam Vice Chair, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. This soldier poem is taken from The Wall, the U.S. site. And when I look at our good chair, I see a lot of the elements in this poem in our good chair and others.
Is that fat and ugly? Is that what you're saying?
Okay, there is a listen now. There is a discipline in a soldier. You can see it when he walks. There is an honor in a soldier. You hear it when he talks. There is courage in a soldier. You can see it in his eyes. Not sure. There is loyalty in a soldier that he will not compromise. There is something in a soldier that makes him stand apart. There's a strength in a soldier that beats from his heart. A soldier isn't a title any man can be hired to do. A soldier is the soul of that man buried deep inside of you. A soldier's job isn't just finished after an 8-hour day or a 40-hour week. A soldier is always a soldier even when he sleeps. A soldier serves his country first and his life is left behind. A soldier has to sacrifice what comes first in a civilian's mind. If you are a civilian, I am saying this to you. Next time you see a soldier, remember what they do. A soldier is the reason our land is home of the free. A soldier is the one that is brave, protecting you and me. If you are a soldier, I am saying this to you. Thank God for every soldier. Thank God for what you do. And it's by Angela Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And there are three service members sitting here. And since you have gone down this road, would all the veterans please stand? All the veterans, please stand.
Thank you
for your service. Thank you very much. Colleagues, members of the audience, the schedule looks like it's long, but it really is not as long as you had. And so that we don't have to do things very, very quickly, we're actually going to just walk down the schedule. The only real public hearing we have today is SJM 7, and then we have an introduction of several bill measures, and then we have 6 work sessions of one type, 3 work sessions of another type, and we will be done. But the first thing we're going to do is actually open a public hearing on SJM 7. Council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Joint Memorial 7 requests that Congress authorize and appropriate funding for the United States Coast Guard's air facility in Newport in perpetuity.
Well, I recognize you, gentlemen.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. David Gomberg from House District 10 on the Central Oregon Coast. Thank you so much for hearing this memorial today. The memorial is actually sponsored by Senator Roblin, and Senator Roblin has just arrived, so we're going to...
You can keep talking. You're the ranking member here since you're from the House.
Exactly. Right.
Well, Arnie will pick up behind you here. Right? When you screw up, the senators will remind you.
Yes.
Arnie, you want me to?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Mr. Chairman, again, David Gomberg, House District 10 on the Central Oregon Coast. And if this memorial looks somewhat familiar to all of you, it's because just 2 years ago we passed a very similar memorial calling upon Congress to fund and maintain the Coast Guard Air Station that is based in Newport. And we're back again because things changed in Washington, D.C., or perhaps they may not remember commitments that were made earlier to our uniformed services. And the Coast Guard is one of those uniformed services that provides essential support, particularly to those of us on the Central Oregon coast. So let me give you a little context. There are 3 air stations that the Coast Guard operates in Oregon, in North Bend, in Astoria, and in Newport. And the one in Newport, ironically, is the only one that is outside the tsunami inundation zone. But it also seems to be the one that is on the top of the cuts list. And when proposals were made with relatively short notice, just about 3 years ago, to eliminate that air service, I have to tell you that there was an uproar on the coast that was heard all the way to Washington, D.C. And the issue is quite simply this, that the other 2 air stations in Oregon can't reach the Central Coast in enough time to save lives. to save the lives of our commercial fleet based in Newport, which is the largest commercial fleet in the state of Oregon, to save the lives of the recreational fleet, which is largely based in Depot Bay, and to also save the lives of visitors that come out to the coast, not my constituents, but your constituents who come to the beach and occasionally find themselves in harm's way with the tide coming in or caught on the rocks or slipping down into the water. The Coast Guard saves lives, and eliminating the air station will cost us lives. It'll also cost us lives amongst our first responders, who do a magnificent job on the coast, but often find themselves taking extra dangerous steps, knowing that the Coast Guard is there on their shoulder to help them should they get into trouble. And I might add that the Coast Guard, although it's focused on water activities, also provides essential services to people that find themselves in problems inland, such as our logging community, and they have provided a number of significant rescues there. So when we learned that cuts were planned to the Coast Guard budget in the coming federal budget, our concerns were renewed, which is why we're back before you again today asking for the state of Oregon to send a clear and significant message to the East Coast that Coast Guard up and down the Oregon coast is a critical part of our economy, of our community, and of our safety. And we're particularly concerned that that the air station in Newport may be first on the cutting block.
So thank you, committee. Senator Arnie Roblin for the record. District 5, parts of the Oregon coast, inland to Sheridan and Falls City. David really did a pretty good summary of all the kinds of things that the active Coast Guard does for us. And I think what most people don't know is that Coast Guard sets rules based on national kinds of averages kinds of things, and in particular, cold water rescue. Much of the deals when they say if you're 2 hours away, that works pretty well. That's true in the Gulf Coast, and it's true off the Atlantic most of the time because the water is not as cold as ours. They give you about 30 minutes in our water, and if you have a full suit on, you may be able to stand a little bit longer, but the reality is hypothermia sets in fairly quickly and you lose any strength to protect yourself. So if you're out in that water, even with a life jacket, the chances of survival after about 30 or 40 minutes is pretty low. So our Coast Guard has become this really big supportive structure. When Dave was talking about assisting in local rescue, we have a number of different groups that have ski craft and small boats to go and go out and especially work with our recreational people. They have all said, if the Coast Guard isn't around, we're not going out there because we know that they're going to be there in time to back us up and do the kind of things and pull us out of the water if somebody creates a problem that we can't handle. And so we start losing the other groups of people who are volunteers that are trying to make our beaches and our places safe. We're also here to protect you from a group of women in Newport.
You're going to hear comments on that one.
our great fishermen's wives who have done an amazing job of clearly articulating the importance of that Coast Guard station. We already know that when the big tsunami happens and the big earthquake happens, the Coast Guard people have to run very quickly, get in their helicopters, and get off the ground because the shaking of the ground will probably cause a problem. But when the Coast Guard that's at Newport comes from the Coos Bay area, so we have a group. We send them up there. They're there for a period of time, and then they come back. So they're ready and able to get off in their helicopter fairly quickly. So when the shaking gets done after a few minutes, they could come back down, and we'd have a functioning aircraft on the coast. A lot of the others are going to shake apart, and then they're going to get washed away because they didn't get off the ground. So for a lot of different reasons, our Coast Guard station in Newport is really, really important to the lives and well-beings of our constituents. And again, there's people who will say having a joint memorial doesn't do much. I disagree. I think it was part of the plan that worked last time. We sent a lot of these people, went back to Congress and talked to people. When you meet and see the people who are really affected and those congressmen see those things, they take with them this joint memorial. It does make a difference. So I would encourage you to pass this and help us send a message to Congress that we do want to protect our coast, we do want to protect our people, and the Coast Guard is a really big asset on the Oregon coast. Thank you. Ask any questions you might have.
My name is Terry Thompson. I'm Lincoln County Commissioner, and I actually came to Arnie and asked him to drop this bill. At the time, we didn't know what the status was going to be of the Coast Guard, but I was worried about the present administration in Washington, D.C. And then when, just like they said, when we heard there was a 14% cut proposed, then I said, okay, we got to move this thing because we need this as a tool. Now, some people, just like he said, Arnie said that, Senator Roblin said, excuse me, I can't help it, Arnie, we worked together. That joint memorials aren't necessarily effective. I'm going to remind you of a little joint memorial that was drafted here some years ago in 1995 with Peter Courtney's help that banned the high seas drift net fishery. It started with that memorial here. If you have a memorial you pass here, it gives you the tool so that you have written document to say the state of Oregon cares about this issue, and then you go back to Washington, D.C., and that's exactly what I plan on doing with this bill. Either find somebody like Commissioner Bill Hall, who's head of AOC, to carry it back, or if I have to, I'll carry it back there myself, because this is too important of an issue for us on the coast. We've lost too many lives already when cold water drowning, and the rest of the people, even the Coast Guard themselves that serve in the rest of the United States, don't understand. He says 30 minutes. I say for my body build, I'm good for about 15 minutes. I don't have the body mass to keep myself warm. And I may be the one that's out there, so I take a particular passion on this bill. And the other person who's here also to speak is Surf Rider, and they know the reality of it. Please pass this bill, this joint memorial.
We'll make these elected officials wait on you.
Right. Chair Boquist, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Charlie Plyben. I'm the Oregon Policy Manager of Surf Rider Foundation. I don't believe there's a whole lot more I can add other than the recreational perspective, which was one that was sort of left out in 2015. The reason why we got involved with this bill was to really highlight the fact that the number one response that we do see by the Coast Guard in saving lives is visitors to our coast, people who unknowingly find themselves in difficult situations. And that's not to underscore the or to underplay the important role that they have with our fishing community and with our local ports, but our visitors are pretty important to us here on the coast. They drive a lot of our economy locally, and we don't want to see lives lost on our coast. In 2015, when this first time this joint memorial was pushed through, we were able to secure federal funding again, and that was a useful tool at that time. Since that time, there's been 76 rescues, shoreside rescues of souls who may have not had their lives saved had the decision to remove that air facility been carried through back in 2015. So these things do have an impact. They have an impact on people's lives, and they have an impact on our communities and on our local economy. So I encourage you do pass on this memorial. Thank you.
Vice Chair.
Chair Olson.
Yes, since this is coming from Oregon, I'm concerned that you call it a joint memorial.
it specifically and purposely.
this is exceptional. I also have a place over on the coast, and we need the Coast Guard there to protect us. We even had a TV show about the crappers out there, and I believe in the TV show one boat did go down. It's unfathomable that they would look at Oregon and take away a resource that they know saves lives. And thank you very much for bringing this forward.
And in particular, when the lights go out next year in August for a few moments, we want to have the Coast Guard there ready to help those people that when the sun goes out for a few minutes right off the coast in Newport, it would be really nice that the helicopter's there, because the people that didn't know what was happening, which there will be some, even though there'll be 20 million people on the coast, so people will be like, whoa, what's going on in the world? And if they fall into the ocean, we want someone there to help them.
But you still want their money when they come, right?
We take whatever they want to leave with us.
That's right, I got it. So, Courtney, yeah, you're going to jump in here.
Well, since you mentioned the great eclipse on August 21st, be sure that you wear proper glasses for the few seconds that's sun is covered, you're fine. but you can do a lot of damage to your eyes if you're watching.
We absolutely agree, and I thank you for reminding us of that again. We'll have glasses available for people all up and down the coast. But in particular, Newport, Lincoln City, I mean, that's where it's coming ashore.
Thank you, gentlemen. As we did last time we passed this memorial, we'll carry it over till next week when we have the work session. Allow anybody in the public that wants to send testimony in. It is helpful if you are out there and you can't attend one of these hearings to email in on OLIS so that we have a whole stack of support, so that when the commissioner has to, Commissioner Thompson has to convince his compadre commissioners down there, he's the one that has to go back to D.C. He has this big stack of support to get him to go back there. So with that, thank you, gentlemen. And is there anyone else that wants to testify on SJM-7? That's all I have that's signed up. So again, for those members of the public that are here and out there, we generally keep the record open for a week on all of our bills and our memorials so that people can put in information. With that, we're going to close the public hearing on SJM-7. And colleagues, we're going to start down through a list of 11 bills and things we have to move. So I'm going to open first a work session on introduction of committee measures. I'll remind members that in the introduction of committee measures, it's not a vote for or against. It's simply an introduction for a bill for future discussion. Madam Vice Chair.
Chair Bosquist, I move that the following legislative concepts be introduced as committee bills. LC 4384, dated 4317. LC 4420, dated 4317.
Madam Chair, Vice Chair Monis Anderson has moved that LC 4384 dated 4317 and LC 4420 dated 4317 be introduced as committee bills. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? So ordered. We will close the work session on the introduction of committee measures and open a work session on SB 116.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 116 was previously heard on March 21st. You'll recall this is Senator Riley's measure requiring free use of state forest lands where recreation is permitted. There's a dash one amendment that replaces the original measure, but substantially to the same effect, requiring forestry to honor the existing state parks pass that's issued to veterans. There is a minimal fiscal impact on the dash one and no revenue.
Madam Vice Chair.
Chair Boquist, I move to adopt the dash one amendment stated 3/27/17.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson moves the dash one amendments into SB 116 stated 3/27/17. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Then so ordered.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 116 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson moves SB 116 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Riley will carry. It is his bill. With that, we'll close the work session on 116 and open a work session on SB 129, which does have a subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, because of the effect of the fiscal, the effect of the dash 2 amendment, the fiscal statement is reduced to a minimal, and we would recommend rescission of the subsequent referrals on Senate Bill 129. This measure was previously heard on February 14th and February 21st, and it came to us with a subsequent referral first to the Senate General Government and Accountability and then to Joint Ways and Means. The dash 2 amendment replaces the emergency clause with an effective date the 91st day after sine die and replaces the measure with language that requires the ODBA Advisory Committee to advise the legislature on whether a task force should be formed to study issues related to PTSD diagnoses and treatment by February 1st, 2018 and prioritize it for potential funding. Then it repeals that request to the ODBA Advisory Board December 31st, 2018. So there's a minimal fiscal and no revenue impact and a recommendation to remove the subsequent referrals.
So for the record, just so everybody knows, the chair and I participated in joint meetings with our colleagues in the House Veterans and Emergency Preparedness, and in light of the overtasking of task forces and things like that, we've come up with a series of mechanisms in which to try and work issues through during the interim in a more efficient manner. So if you didn't follow along with all what was said, we're trying to operate as a more efficient and effective government here. So,
Chair Bolkus, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I move to adopt the dash 2 amendments dated 3/20/17.
Madam Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves to adopt the dash 2 amendments to SB 129 dated 3/20/17. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Then so ordered.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 129 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the subsequent referrals to the Committee on General Government and Accountability and the Joint Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Madam Vice Chair, Mona Sanders has moved SB 129 as amended to the floor with a due pass, and the subsequent referrals to the Committee on Joint General Government Accountability and Joint Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. Who is the sponsor of this bill?
Senator Riley's bill, Mr. Chair.
So Senator Riley will carry. With that, we will close the public hearing on SB 129 and open a public hearing on SB 143.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 143 is another measure that has been amended to replace the original text to require the ODVA Advisory Committee to advise the legislature on the merits of the original underlying measure as introduced and prioritize it in other measures by February 1st, 2018. It takes effect the 91st day after sine die and is repealed January 2nd, 2019. It has minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Chair Boquist, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 3/17/17.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson moves the Dash 1 amendment stated 3/17/17 into SB 143. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 143 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson has moved SB 143 as amended by the Dash 1 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. The subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means has been rescinded. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. It's either you or me. We're both sponsors. Okay, Senator Monis Anderson will be delighted to carry SB 143. We'll close the work session, SB 143, and open a work session on SB 476.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 476 was previously heard on the 30th of March. This measure expands the reemployment assistance program in its original form. It has been amended to replace that language and direct the ODVA Advisory Committee again to evaluate the merits of the bill and advise the legislature by February 1st, 2018. Since that's December 31st, 2018, and takes effect the 91st day after sine die, there is a minimal fiscal and no revenue impact.
Chair Boquist, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 3/31/17.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson has moved the Dash 1 amendment stated 3/31/17 into SB 476. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 476 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson moves SB 476 as amended by the Dash 1 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there opposition? Discussion? So ordered, and I will carry 476. We'll close the work session on 476. My understanding is 796, the paperwork is not ready. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. There's one fiscal statement missing on the Dash 1 amendment.
Okay, for the record, colleagues, SB 796 will be carried forward to the next hearing so that we can let the paperwork catch up with that. That will close SB 796 and open SB 832.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 832 was previously heard on February the 28th. This is another measure with amendment that it replaces its original content and asks the ODVA Advisory Committee to review it and to advise the legislature by February 1st, 2018. Again, it sunsets after that, and it takes effect the 91st day after sine die. There is a minimal fiscal and no revenue impact.
Chair Boquist, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 3/17/17 into Senate Bill 832.
Honorable Senator Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves the Dash 1 amendments into of SB 832 dated 3/17/17 into the bill. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. Madam
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 832 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Madam Vice Chair Monis Anderson moved SB 832 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, the subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? So ordered. Who is the sponsor?
This is the Senators Monis Anderson.
Oh, I forgot.
Whether or not Sure. Okay. Senator Melissa Anderson will be the carrier on SB 832. We'll close the work session on SB 832. And we're going to open, these are three bills we're going to go through, colleagues, in which we wanted to just clarify and make sure there wasn't any additional testimony for these. And so we're going to open both a public hearing and a work session simultaneously on SB 573. And I have nobody signed up, but is there anybody in the audience would like to testify on SB 573? Seeing no takers, if the record in OLIS will have the other testimony or the earlier testimony or anything that's been submitted to us. Council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 573 was heard on the 30th of March. It encourages reflection to honor military service members lost at war at noon on the 21st day of each month for 21 seconds. There's no fiscal and no revenue impact.
Chair Boulquist, I move Senate Bill 573 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves SB 573 to the floor with a due pass recommendation for discussion. Is there any opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. And this is Senator Canope's bill, and he will be the carrier. We'll open with that. We'll close the public hearing on SB 573 and open a public hearing and work session on SB 992. Council, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 992 was also heard on the 30th, designates the third Friday of every September Oregon PIW-MIA Recognition Day. There's no amendment. There's no fiscal and no revenue impact. Let me just double-check the fiscal statements.
And while she's doing that, is there anyone, we open a public hearing in case there was anybody from last week that wanted to testify. Is there anybody that wants to testify on SB 992?
Senator Boulquist, I don't know if he's a constituent, but he came to talk to my staff on why he feels this is not a good thing to do, and I think I should at least put it on the record. And my staff took the information, I think, to Peggy, your staff. And so he's a Vietnam veteran, and over the he had many of his friends, POWs, some MIAs, and back in the 70s, there was a lot of conflict on the flag when it was developed. And some people used it as a political tool for the war or against the war. And then they started putting that flag and associated it with the Confederate flag. And so he, as a Vietnam veteran, was very offended by the politicalization and comparing, I guess, Vietnam War with the Confederacy or the war, Civil War. And so he just feels that this is a very right-wing group that that is promoting this. And so a conversation was held last week with him and stated that this committee is a bipartisan committee and that we are have never taken a partisan viewpoint on the legislation that has come before this committee. And so I needed to put his views on the record, but I wanted to put my views on the record that I don't see this as a political issue, and how we can separate that from what some of our Vietnam vets feel about the flag. I just don't know how to deal with that.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I mean, there are 17 sponsors in the bill, and we had overwhelming testimony previously. And I mean, the bill was brought forward by the descendants of Sandy Radu, who worked tirelessly on the POW-MIA issue here in the state of Oregon, and has worked to try and heal those wounds, those mental wounds that, and I think all three of us were in the service during that time frame, and we're quite familiar with that, and can have all kinds of bad stories about being that. And hopefully, though, this bill, and there's a comparable bill to this in the House, will help mend those fences between the various sides, and especially now given the fact that, you know, Vietnam veterans are committing suicide at a higher rate than virtually anyone else, as we see right now. And hopefully this will do a lot to help mend that, despite what some individuals think, mm-hmm. and hopefully they too will come around.
Thank you.
So, ready, yes, are we in work session?
Yep, we're in work session.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 573. That's the one, are we?
992.
I'm sorry. I move Senate Bill 992 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair, Mona Sanders moves Senate Bill 992 to the floor with a due pass. Further discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. With that, we're going to close the public hearing and work session on SB 992 and open our the final public hearing and work session on SB 993. If you would please, counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 993 was also heard on March 30th. This is a measure that designates every August 7th Oregon Purple Heart Recognition Day. It has no fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 993 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair, Mona Sanderson moves SB 993 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? Then so ordered. I can either carry or Senator Olson can carry, because I have three or four and Senator Monson has three or four. Would you be kind enough to carry the Purple
Certainly.
Heart?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Senator Olson will carry. With that, we'll close the public hearing and work session on SB 993. Colleagues, do we have a Thursday meeting, because we're getting close to the end? Our next meeting?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we have a Thursday, that's correct.
Anything else for the good of the order? If not, colleagues, we'll see you on Thursday. On Thursday.